Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, June 1st, Pope Francis says that Africa needs to be a continent capable of charting future paths. The Vatican's foreign minister reiterates commitment to promoting peace negotiations in Ukraine, and fighting escalates in Sudan as yet another ceasefire deal collapses. In the Vatican, I am Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis on Thursday met with promoters of the African Compact on Education and praised the initiative for its goal to educate young people by drawing on Christian values and traditional African culture. The compact is the fruit of the international symposium held in November 2023 in Kinshasa under the patronage of the Congo Bishops' Conference and organized by the International Religions and Society Foundation and the Catholic University of Congo. Numerous bishops, priests, scientists and scholars from various African countries and beyond attended the event, inspired by the Pope's Global Compact on Education, which he launched in September 2019. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Guardiamo l'Africa con molta fiducia.
We look to Africa with great confidence, said Pope Francis on Thursday, praising the African Compact on Education as he warmly welcomed a delegation of organizers of the compact from the International Religions and Societies Foundation. He offered heartfelt thanks for their important initiative. I congratulate you, he said, because you were the first to realize a continental educational compact.
I primi a realizzare un patto educativo continentale.
You have shown that you have well understood what I was aiming for with this initiative, namely that the Global Education Compact should become a local reality. Everyone, therefore, he said, has a duty to support education, which is always a joint endeavor. In education, we have to take more risks and act as a choir, the Pope said. The African Education Compact, he underscored, should contribute not only to recovering and strengthening a communitarian and horizontal dimension of relationships, but also to highlight the vertical dimension, namely the relationship with God. The African continent, the Pope reflected, has opened up to the Christian proclamation with great enthusiasm and is currently the continent that sees the greatest increase in the number of Christians and Catholics. Faith is present there, he said.
C'è la fede lì.
The Pope called for investing in young people and in teachers. After the policies of mass education, which characterized the first decades of post-colonialism, he recognized it is now time to work together with local governments for the ever-increasing qualification of education, especially by training teachers well, valuing them, and creating the necessary conditions for the dignified exercise of their profession. We look to Africa with great confidence, the Pope said, because it has everything it needs to be a continent capable of charting future paths. I am referring, the Holy Father clarified, not only to the great mineral resources and economic progress and peace processes. I am thinking above all of educational resources, the values of traditional African education, thanking them for their commitment, the Pope expressed. I hope that the African Compact on Education will be followed by other continents. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Pope Francis met today with participants in the annual assembly of the Latin American Business Council, which is being held in Rome this week. The Pope urged entrepreneurs everywhere to look to the gospel to find hope and direction in their business endeavors. Devin Watkins reports.
Es imprescindible enfocar la labor desde una cultura del encuentro.
Work must be founded on a culture of encounter, which encourages people to seek the common good. Pope Francis offered that guidance to businessmen and women from across Latin America on Thursday as he met with members of the Latin American Business Council. In his address, the Holy Father urged entrepreneurs to build a network guided by the gospel and founded on hope. He noted that the annual assembly addressed themes such as migration, climate change, and integral human development, adding that these problems can be found in all other parts of the globe. Your exchange of ideas, he said, can help you join forces to deal together with problems which are currently common to the entire human family. Pope Francis said a business model that imbibes a culture of encounter can push aside any shadows that creep into the workplace, including an excessive drive for profit which seeks to enslave workers. The values of a culture that respects others, said the Pope, are then translated into countless daily sacrifices and efforts to help others grow. He urged the Latin American entrepreneurs to offer ongoing formation and education for their workers in order to avoid conflicts and the pain of redundancies. The Pope also invited the businessmen and women to look to the first disciples of Jesus, who were fishermen. He said they learned how to plow the rough seas of their own times to spread the Christian message, something from which he said modern entrepreneurs can learn.
El servicio que realizan no es abstracto.
The service you carry out is not abstract, he said, but directed at every person, which makes it necessary to work together without stepping over anyone or leaving anyone behind. In conclusion, Pope Francis said Christian business leaders enjoy the guiding compass of the gospel and the gift of hope. We are therefore able to navigate correctly, he concluded, trusting that God will guide us and accompany us along our journey. I'm Devin Watkins.
In an interview with Italian daily La Stampa, the Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, discusses the Holy See's diplomatic efforts for peace in Ukraine, emphasizing the Holy See's position that a resolution to the conflict must come through dialogue and negotiation. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The war in Ukraine will end at the negotiating table, said Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, recalling the words of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. For this reason, Gallagher continued, the Holy See's diplomatic efforts are aimed at trying to get to the negotiating table as soon as possible. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations made the remarks in an interview published Wednesday in the Italian newspaper La Stampa. With regard to the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, Archbishop Gallagher said the Holy See recognized the difficulties and sufferings of the Ukrainian people, but noted at the same time the complexity of the diplomatic situation. We have to keep the idea of a peace process alive, he said. He noted that Pope Francis has been working for a peaceful resolution to the war since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, saying that the Holy Father has been continually evaluating ideas and proposals that could help ease tensions in the Ukrainian conflict and start paths to a just peace. Asked about the forthcoming mission of Italian Cardinal Matteo Zuppi to Ukraine and Russia, Archbishop Gallagher explained that the specifics of the mission are still being studied, adding that at the same time, we hope and pray for such a delicate mission, knowing that speed and timing are also very important. The Archbishop also responded to questions about the role of other nations in the conflict, and specifically about Russia's relations with China and Iran. The first consideration, he said, is the position of the Holy See that it is up to any nation, any actor, to do everything possible to end this war. And he added, we encourage everyone to do so. I'm Christopher Wells.
The Zayed Award for Human Fraternity today opened nominations for its 2024 award. The award was set up in February 2019 in response to Pope Francis' historic meeting with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar in the United Arab Emirates and the publication of the document on human fraternity signed by the two religious leaders. The Zayed Prize aims to provide international recognition to individuals and entities who have made profound contributions to human progress and the facilitation of peaceful coexistence. The award, which includes a US $1 million financial prize, can go to individuals and organizations of all backgrounds. As Zayed Award for Human Fraternity Secretary General Judge Mohammed Abdel Salam said, as the 2024 edition of the award begins, we call for nominations of people and organizations who are advancing human fraternity at all levels of society, inspiring others to serve the common good and changing our world for the better. Eligible nominators can submit nominations through the Zayed Award for Human Fraternity's official website, zayedaward.org. Nominations will be accepted until October 1st, 2023. An independent judging committee of experts in peacebuilding and coexistence will review the nominations and select the honorees. Meanwhile, elsewhere, multiple groups are calling for a slowdown in plastic production as talks are currently underway for a global treaty to end plastic pollution. Zeus Legaspi reports.
It will be impossible to end plastic pollution without reducing plastic production, a report from the Greenpeace Network found. The report comes as a United Nations committee meets in Paris to resume negotiations for the first international legally binding treaty on plastic pollution. Member governments are reported to debate on capping plastic production, while some countries and corporations push for upscaling recycling efforts instead as part of a greener circular economy. Greenpeace, in the report, said that fossil fuel, petrochemical, and consumer goods companies continue to urge for plastic recycling, but in reality, only 9% of all plastics produced have been recycled, while those that are recycled contain a toxic cocktail of chemicals. The report revealed that the plastics, when heated during the recycling process, generate new toxic chemicals. These include brominated dioxins and benzene, a human carcinogen which can be created by mechanical recycling and intermingling of polyethylene terephthalate and polyvinyl chloride plastic. Plastic production was also reported to have been causing multiple health problems to workers and communities. Constant inhalation of toxic dust or fumes pose lifelong ailments, including cancer and reproductive harm. To combat toxic plastic recycling, Greenpeace said that UN's Global Plastics Treaty must slow down plastic production, promote a reuse-based economy, and institute polluter-pays principle for plastic waste management, among others. I am Zeus Legaspi.
And finally, at least 19 people were killed and more than 100 wounded in Sudan on Wednesday when rockets hit a market in the capital Khartoum. The violence around a market in Khartoum's Mayo area came as truce talks between Sudan's rival military forces collapsed. Linda Bordoni reports.
Rockets hit a market in Khartoum, killing and wounding scores of people in an attack on Wednesday that caused the most civilian casualties in a single incident since the war began in mid-April. Heavy fire was reported on Thursday across the River Nile from Khartoum in the cities of Bari and Omdurman. The upsurge of fighting between Sudanese government forces and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, RSF, comes as truce talks, mediated by the US and Saudi Arabia, were suspended. The attack on the market, perpetrated with artillery fire and aerial bombardments, brings the official civilian death toll over 7 weeks to at least 883, although the real number is likely to be far higher. Neighbourhood organisations, which have been helping Khartoum's residents get food and medicine, described the situation as catastrophic and appealed for doctors and blood donations. On Tuesday, the army and its paramilitary rivals had agreed to extend last week's humanitarian ceasefire deal for another 5 days. But the next day, the army withdrew from the talks, alleging the RSF was not committed to the terms. The ceasefire deal had allowed some urgent aid to reach around 2 million people. But the continued insecurity has reportedly prevented a delivery to many more and blocked operations to restore essential services. According to the United Nations, 25 million people, that's more than half the population of Sudan, are now in need of humanitarian aid and protection. But as violence continues, warehouses storing food aid for 4.4 million people are reportedly coming under attack, stealing directly from the mouths of the hungry. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page, Twitter feed and Instagram account. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.